TKUD in Montreal.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is ongoing throughout Quebec. The combined effect of two doses ensures better efficacy of the vaccine, reducing the risk of getting and transmitting the virus. You'll also stay protected for a longer period of time. Coming to your appointment for the second dose of the vaccine is a must, whatever else is on your schedule. The second dose of vaccine is essential. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
This is Lucky D. Real food you want. Come to Mango Bay every day. Real food.
Mango Bay Restaurant, located in the heart of downtown Montreal, 1236 Mackay Street, Suite 201. For reservations, please call 514-875-7082 or visit mangobay.ca. Real food.
Let's get together and feel all right.
The Festival International de Nuit d'Afrique, presented by TD Bank, invites you to their 35th anniversary this summer. Discover the outdoor festival from July 13th to the 18th. For 6 days, share special moments with the artists, intimate concerts, workshops and demonstrations free or by appointment, and witness the breathtaking projections happening every evening. In partnership with Quartier du Spectacle, Metro Saint-Laurent. Check out the full program at festivalnuitdafrique.com.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
I'm all self-diagnosed, recovering addict. Loving you was my bad habit. Loving you was nothing healthy for me. No, it was never, never good for me. And now I lay awake at night. I'm trying to catch my fix. I'm slowly dying. Ladies come and go and not the way. You know I tried that rehab shit. A temporary fix and maybe another cleanse from you. Yes, I need my hit. I'm addicted to you. And yet my remedy, another victim of love's tragedy. Like a prisoner trying to escape, I tried so hard but I can't get away. And now the doctors got so hard to numb me. Who they think I'm fucking crazy? But I'm just so full in love with you. I'm so reluctant to the cure. Makes me want you more. Got me strung out from the drug. That's why I owe you. I'm addicted to you, to your love. I'm addicted to you, to your love. Addicted to your love. Ooh. Addicted to I reach rock bottom, I must admit, now revel will now.
I'm addicted to you, to your love.
I'm addicted to your love, and
I'm addicted to you, to your love.
Addicted to your love.
I'm addicted.
Your love,
to your body, addicted to your love. I'm addicted.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. It's Tuesday evening and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I'm in studios with...
Renee Jordan. And this evening we have a wonderful guest with us that is no stranger to Soul Perspective. He was born and raised in Montreal, Toronto, and now he's a Toronto-based pop entertainer. I Am Rebel Will is influenced by the showmanship of Janet Jackson, the electric artistry of Andre 3000, and the vibes and feel of Catronata. Now unveiling his new project, Rebel Futurism, the artist is using his voice to challenge the stereotypical perspectives in mainstream pop music and to help empower the underrepresented LGBTQ and POC community to be fearlessly themselves. Rebel Will, how have you been?
What's going on? I've been good. I've been good. You know, I miss home, but Toronto's cool too.
You should be missing home.
I know. Well, you know, home. I don't know about like all them rides I've been hearing up with the haves and stuff. I don't know if home's the place to be right now, but.
Well, I guess it's a different form of expression of joy that we have here.
But, you know, I just want to see where all that excitement was when, you know, Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. But, you know, we'll keep quiet. We'll keep quiet.
No, we don't need to keep quiet. This is Soul Perspectives. We talk the talk. We talk the talk. I was saying I saw photos of people overturning police cars downtown again, and I'm like, if this was a huge group of black folks, you know, all of them would have been arrested, some of them probably dead. You know, the reality of our situation is very unique, and I don't know, I could almost understand if they had lost, you know, but they won. They won. Like,
but they won. It seems like a thing that win or lose, this is what happens. I don't know what it is, why it can't be controlled, and why it happens all the time. Like, what is in it that a fan has in their mind that, you know, they should destroy public property to celebrate?
But not even that. Like, we're going back into even when they're talking about how they describe the rioters. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these rioters, they're just passionate group of people. Whereas, like, you know, when it's something more serious, it's like they're thugs. You know, these people are like out here. Like, it's the wording and the verbiage that's dangerous for me. Like, you know what? And if you want to turn over cop cars and do whatever you want, that's your business. Like, just, but not on my tax dollar dime. You know what I mean? Do it in your own car. Like, do it in your own driveway.
So turn over your own car.
Right.
Burn down your own house. Burn down your own business.
Please do. Like, yeah. Please.
There definitely is an issue with the way that the media sort of plays with words, you know, given the group of people that are involved in an altercation, in terms of demonizing them with words as rioters or people just having fun or, you know, being in an exuberant joy after an event.
Right.
Yeah.
But the
difference between, oh, this person has mental health issues and these people are terrorists.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, uh-huh, you're talking about somebody who went into a church and mowed down 9 people versus people who are like protesting against police brutality, and they're terrorists. And the former is not like a terrorist himself. He's just, he's mentally unstable. And then that unravels its own other thing of like, people with mental health issues now become demonized because of this guy, you know?
Right. But even that, like, you know, we often see they don't want to acknowledge white terrorism.
No.
It's crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how many kids... I was in, like, you know, Dawson at the time when they were shooting up, when he came in, you know what I mean? And how many times were they, you know, they were trying to give like a backstory to him when all these, like, when there's other things, like other petty crimes that are not even viewed the same way. And it's not even the same I just, for me, it's not the same caliber, but, you know, to each their own. I just wish that they would really switch this narrative and really improve it. And I see that there is, we are trying to make those changes, but I don't think the changes happen quick enough for my liking.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Change is one of those things.
We're here to talk about you. How are you doing? I keep saying we're in a pandemic, but I'm not even sure if we're in a pandemic anymore. It feels like we're not, but it feels like we are. How has this new way of living, I'll say, affected you, affected your art, affected the way that you move through this world?
I guess, as you know, everybody, COVID affected everybody in different ways.
Yeah.
For me, for sure, it affected just the way that I made money, in the sense of, like, I was traveling, and, you know, how I made money was going to festivals, and that was the majority of, like, my pay performing. But since that has not, like, you know, happened yet, it's been good, because I really got to sit down and reflect and kind of scale back and figure out what I wanted to do, like, moving forward. And I felt, in a way, COVID was good for me, in the sense of, like, it got me to, like, add, like, you know, like, perspective of, like, what do I want to do? Like, what do I want my music to say? Like, what do I want to speak about? And instead of just going through the motion that I feel like a lot of people just go into that routine and, you know, they don't even know what's happening anymore, just autopilot. Mm-hmm. So that's been really good. And for me, that's where Rebel Futurism kind of came from. Like, a vision of where I wanted to be and, like, how I saw the future. And it was very, very important to me with talking with all the different intersections that I do face, in terms of, like, you know, being queer, openly queer, and, like, you know, being Black and being man, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to also, like, just understand, like, the perspective, like what my sisters are going through, and, like, what, like, you know, it was really a chance to sit back, reflect, and be like, how do I want to evoke change? And what am I going to do that? So, in hindsight, COVID was amazing. When it was happening, I wanted to cuss COVID out. But,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I think, for me, anything that happens to us, if we don't learn from it and grow from it, it will be a failure. But if we have grown, then there's some, like, a silver lining in the cloud, you know, there's something positive that comes of it. Okay, we can latch on to that positive and move forward, you know, as opposed to lamenting about, you know, not being able to go out or having to wear masks or whatever the case may be.
All right, and you know what, it kind of just showed me too, like, what people value, like, instead of doing the simple things that would help everybody, people were so selfish and one-track mind that they didn't want to just, like, you know, think about the whole, like, how this would affect their neighbor, how they affect their grandparents, or, like, you know, their sick niece and nephew. Like, I think for me, it really just humbled me, and, like, little things, like, I'm like, oh my god, I can't get my Starbucks. I'm like, what? Starbucks will get enough of my money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why am I rushing to go to Starbucks? Like, it just, a lot of it just didn't make sense anymore. And I'm really, as I said, like, COVID, I think, made me an adult. Like, you know, like, in the sense that, like, like, you know, I was an adult before, sort of, you know, but, like, now, like, I'm, like, really, like, getting that time to reflect really grow. And I think, as you said, like, if you didn't grow from this, then what were you doing for almost 2 years, you know?
Absolutely.
And how has that growth modeled the direction that you've taken with your music thus far?
Okay. Well, prior to COVID, I was in the middle of talking to, like, makers and, like, you know, really trying to get that, like, pop genre out there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it came with a lot of sacrifices in terms of, like, from past management, I was told to, you know, maybe I should start bleaching. Maybe if you're going to...
Bleaching?
Yeah, bleaching, because lighter skin artists make more money.
Bleaching your skin? Like, someone actually had a discussion with you during your lifetime about bleaching your skin?
What are you talking? Yo, that's a normal thing. What are you talking about?
What?
That's a normal thing.
I am in disbelief because I just wouldn't think that someone in your lifetime would tell you to bleach your skin.
No.
On this side of the world,
I literally could tell you the amount of times I've talked about me potentially bleaching to make me more marketable. And that was always the word that would be thrown around, marketable, marketable.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
To be honest, like, a lot, it was depressing for a long time. And like, that was the only, it's like, okay, well, I think I'm talented, you know what I mean? I'm like, so is that really the only thing that's holding me back? Like, it's not my work ethic. It's not like, is that really what it is? Or even like having to hide my sexuality. Like, for the longest time, I just felt like an imposter. You know what I mean? And they're like, well, you know, the Black community, I don't know if they're supporting your music now. I don't know if they're going to do that. Like, you know what I mean? When you finally come out, I'm like, well, I haven't been closeted in almost 10 years. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so for me to, like, all of a sudden hide now, it's like, obviously, it's not like something I, like, go around. I'm like, yeah, by the way, I'm like, you know what I mean? No, that's not the first thing I start with, but I would never hide it. And the fact that, like, it was like, well, that's kind of the Black community. Like, I even had a radio station want to play one of my songs here in Ontario, because
one of your new songs or one of your older songs?
One of my older songs. Like, this was 2019, like the end of 2019. Mm-hmm. They want to play my song because they're afraid of the like when they listen to it and they heard the gold background, they're not sure about the lifestyle choice. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, like, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, because I'm openly queer. They're like, no, it's just, you know, we have a more Caribbean lifestyle here, and they won't accept. I'm like, so because I'm queer?
To brass tacks.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather know, like, to my face, like, what it's about than, uh-huh. like, you know what I mean? And, like, you know, be like, okay, cool. You'll know. When I get to the point where I'm going to be, because that's where my goals are, and when you want me later, like, don't come asking for me later type of thing. So, yeah, that's kind of what I checked it out to now, but that's definitely been a part of the journey, for sure. And, yeah, as you said, you wouldn't think in this lifetime, but it happens every day in one way or another, you know?
It just kind of goes to show that the music industry hasn't really evolved that much. I mean, at least behind the scenes wise, because, you know, like you told me about bleaching, and I'm thinking third world countries that mostly do that. I'm thinking back when I was young in Jamaica, and women used to bleach their skin, and even men used to bleach their skin, you know, and to me, it's like, oh, nowadays, we're 2021. Like, who's talking about that? And within the past 5-10 years, you've had those conversations multiple times. I am at a loss for words as well.
It's like, what I don't like too is that there's almost, they say there's room for everybody. Like, right now, there's this big wave of acceptance in terms of the industry, in terms of wanting more queer artists. They want more darker skin artists. But again, it's like the one. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, I made it through, so now, okay, you know what? That's really good. I'm going to make you, like, Lil Nas X. I'm like,
So you think it's more of a trend than it is trying to right the wrongs of the past and pave a way that's more humanistic than anything?
Unfortunately, that's what it is. But what I am hoping is that there is enough people that come through that door at that time and could really make the mark to show that it's more than just a trend. It's more like, for me, everybody was so excited about this Lil Nas X video, and I'm just like, I get it. I understand it. I respect it. And, like, you know, I applaud it in that sense where it was yes, it was groundbreaking, but it also, in the same sense, is everything I've been fighting for. Like, fighting against the caricature of, like, what they think a queer Black man should be and look like. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I am not effeminate in any which way. Like, you know, and that, like, they're like, oh, well, now you should do, like, more like that. Or there's another artist that they look that is making waves right now called Taja Call, and he does drag, and they're like, you, have you ever thought of doing drag? And I'm like, never. Like, that never crossed my mind. That's not a thing that I would do. Like, that's not a thing that, like, you know what I mean? Like, I respect the art form, yeah, but it's not my art form. Like, why would I always do it? But that's the trend right now, you know? So that's what it is, like, unfortunately.
Do you ever feel like the need to bend or to do something that might be outside just to fit in a lane, sort of?
I think the first beginning of my career, I did that already. Right.
And so what's this next part, and how confident are you in it that it's going to be accepted, that it's going to work, or do you even care at this point?
I'm definitely not 100% confident if it's going to be accepted or not. Mm-hmm. But I'm at the point where I don't care. I don't care. Like, the music is going to speak for itself. I believe that the newer stuff is definitely quality. I do believe that even in terms of my writing and in terms of, like, my subject matter and, like, what I want to talk about, it feels more authentic than, like, the little pop R&B tracks that I was doing in the past. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Mind you,
uh-huh.
I do love them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a place for them, but it wasn't, like, it also just reminds me of, like, when I was trying to hide myself, and that's not where I want to be anymore. So, yeah, moving forward, it's like, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. You're going to hate it. But either way, I'm still going to do what I got to do. And that's me. That's my contribution to what I feel like this world needs. And yeah, hopefully other people will vibe with it too.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are talking to Rebel Will, a Montreal-born and raised artist who's now made Toronto his home. We are going to take a quick break. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
If you got it, it ain't a question. Oh, it ain't no one for guessing. No more than emotionally invested. Showing you all my imperfections. Oh, if I let you, don't take me for granted. Yeah, if I'm worth more than you could manage, yeah. Open with me, oh, we could be honest. Closer to me, oh, giving me solace. Promise that you won't let me fall. Holding me tight, loving me right, giving me life all night. You could be telling me lies, making me cry, wasting my time the whole time. So just be careful what you take for granted. Yeah, 'cause with me, no, you could do damage. You could do damage. You could do damage. Yeah, worry about it, I'm putting pressure. You'll only cut me if I let you. No, you're doing this just for pleasure. Either love me or I'm a lesson. Going on. If you want me, don't take me for granted. Yeah, if I'm worth more than you could manage. Baby, oh, you're falling for me. Oh, baby, I caught it. Oh, we could be whatever you want, call it. Promise that you won't let me fall. Oh, oh, oh. Holding me tight, loving me right, giving me life all night. You could be telling me lies, making me cry, wasting my time the whole time. So just be careful what you take for granted. Yeah, 'cause with me, no, you could do damage. You could do damage. You could do damage. No, you could do damage. Yeah. Oh, you could do damage. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do damage. No,
ballin' hot at the last show. Walk up in this bitch like it's my show. Count up a meal on my hostels. That's how I used to do it in Morocco. I woke up in the daylight. I'm just tryna get my day right. Don't know what happened last night. Oh, I'm just tryna get my money right. My day right, looking for answers. Cool, got a real special potion. Rubbing on your body like a lotion. Dive into it like an ocean. An ocean. I think tonight I'll take you back. You can put a price on what we share. Think about the pain in my life. Running from the red and blue lights. Now we keep the weather one night. Headed down now, not the coast. Feels so good, let's make a toast. Bitch is so bad, call him J-Lo. I hit him out the pot like a Seiko. Seiko. I think tonight I'll take you back. You can't put a price.
Yes, we're back. We are CKUT. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I'm in studios with
Renee Jordan.
And we have...
And we're talking to Rebel Will. We were talking a little bit before the break about your transition, your time throughout this pandemic, where you had some time to seriously reflect about your career and where it was heading. And you told us some quite shocking industry details in terms of what they wanted for you to be and how they wanted to mold you into a certain type of artist. And now how you've decided to make it your own, do your own thing, and really just be who you are. And you released one track during the pandemic, well, a video, I should say, Hot-Blooded. And in this video, you did not hide who you were. You were fully out there with who you are. And I must say, from seeing you from your performance days, from seeing you do people's covers, and seeing you in your first album to this album, your sound is just different. It just seems like, boom, you've hit it. You know, the sound of the album. And it's such a beautiful fashion show, I must say. And I believe you do have something, you have a collaboration with a group of artists that, some fashion artists, I think.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. I read something in your bio about that.
Yes. So what we are doing is I really want to collaborate with local up and coming artists, and like one of the things that I wanted specifically for this project moving forward, I don't even care as horrible it sounds. I want to only work with Black people, period.
Okay.
I want to work with local Black people. I want to work with up-and-coming people who are in management, other people who are in fashion, and that's what it was. Black, and if you happen to be also in the queer lane, I was even better. You know what I mean? Like, my whole purpose with this project moving forward is to uplift my own and my own only first and foremost. And I feel no ways about it. I was about to apologize, but that's you know, you go back to
the Canadian way.
We're sorry, like, but right. So you're basically pulling an Issa Rae. You're like, I want everybody black.
Yeah.
So who are you? Who are you rooting for? Everybody black.
Everybody black.
If you're black, I'm rooting for you.
Yeah.
So tell us about some of the wonderful people that you worked with on that project, making that video.
My writing partner right now, Tafari Anthony, who is an amazing black queer artist as well, was so instrumental with helping me really understand like what I want to talk about.
Okay.
So he was very, very instrumental with that. And so he's been working, as I said, closely with it. And he's one of the producers on the project as well. Charisse Bailey, who you guys also got a chance to kind of talk to briefly. She's also amazing. She's a wonderful musician and magician. Wow, I can't speak English. She's also very, very educated in terms of, like, music business, and she's now my manager. As I said, I wanted someone like my mama who would like literally there unconditionally whether I mess up or not and have my back whole throat like through and through everything, and there's no one that has it more down like a black woman. So I had her, she's my rock, so I gotta give her all praises. And Lasha Stramos is also one of the designers that I'm working with currently as well. And there's so much more coming for this project. You're going to see a lot of my like influences in terms of like the fashion that's going forward. The more like the futuristic, like I'm really embracing like the Afrocentric parts of me. And I want to show black love in all facets of it. And that's what this is really coming about. Black love, black lust, black everything. Like, so I'm excited.
So the song, Hot Blooded, what is the meaning behind the words?
Hot Blooded is, you know, it's like summer romance, but it's also from a 2020 perspective, in the sense of like, you know, unfortunately, we are not relationship driven anymore. I think it's more like a McDonald's, like a quick, you know, like you need it.
I think I understand you.
Yes.
Okay.
The Bumble, the Tinders,
swipe right, swipe left, like that's it. It's like ordering a pizza, you know.
You defined it perfectly.
It is I love the freedom of it, and
okay,
for me, like hot-blooded too, like from my perspective, coming from, I went from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship, and like this is the first time I've been single for the longest time too, thank you Corona. But yeah, like I really got a chance to just understand myself, and I don't actually want a relationship right now.
Aww.
And that's it, like, you know, I'm young, I'm free, and I'm hot-blooded, and that's kind of where that's kind of coming from, you know, like, it's like, you are for the moment, and that you were probably the lesson I needed for that moment, and once it's over, no ill will, it is what it is, we're vibing, it's the freedom behind it, so, yeah, that's where that's coming from.
Nice. I think sometimes we feel like we need to fill the space all the time, and people don't take enough time by themselves, And we sort of get these images of what love should be and what it should look like and how soon we should have it and when we should have it. So we do get into those trains of thing to thing, searching for that thing. And sometimes it takes that time and space to find exactly what we're looking for. Do you agree?
Trust me. Like, I came from long-term relationship, married, divorce, long-term relationship. And right now, like, it's the first time in about 15 years I've been just single. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I can't wait for COVID to kind of hit, because I want to experience, like, what it's like to pick up somebody at the club. Like, you know what I mean? I've never, it sounds so stupid, but I'm in my 30s right now. I just turned 34. It's like, you know, like, I had to.
And it think of that. You know, I think people are gonna do a COVID corrected, you know.
Right.
New Year's life.
Mine is year and a half for COVID.
But yeah, no, and I like, it's like little things like that, like I never just experienced, you know what I mean? Like that, like, and I'm excited for that journey, excited for that. Yeah, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I'm really not into the whole app thing, because I think that's a little much. But, you know, teach your own. I love there, you know?
I went on Tinder once, and I literally stayed on it for 24 hours. And for one, I think I spent, like, 4 hours swiping. And, like, I first got the app, and then I was like, this feels like a meat market. I feel like, and I mean, we do it. If we're walking in the street, we're looking at people and we're like, oh, that person's attractive. Oh, that person's not attractive. We do it in our minds. We go in the club, the same thing. We do it in our minds. But to actually sit down and like, with a device in your hand and like, left, right, left, right, left, left, left. No, there was something. It just didn't resonate with me. And then my friends were like, oh, yeah, it's a numbers thing. And I was like, what? No.
Numbers. You know, I think people who do use it sort of use it as a numbers thing because they don't really know. And I guess you're trying to improve your odds. So the more you do or the more you swipe through or the more you accept, then the likelihood of you finding V1. But I mean, when the sea is so vast and so big, I think it sort of defeats the purpose. People sort of are like, well, you're good, but there could be better. You know, so you just keep searching.
Go ahead, Will.
I was just saying, like, based on that too, it's like, okay, so you meet all these matches. Like, where do you find the time to actually get to know people in that time frame, you know what I mean? Because there's so, as you said, there's so many matches that you could potentially get. It's like you're always trying to level up. And I feel like people are here trying to level up instead of actually being like, well, could you provide those things that you're looking for? Like it's crazy. Like, you know, they're like, okay, well, I won't call out this person out, like, but we're having a conversation. I'm having a conversation with this person, and she's like, well, he has to be doing this, he has to be doing that. I'm like, but you're nowhere near that. I'm like, you finish your education first. I'm like, you have 3 kids right now. So you figure out like what your living situation is going to be with that. Why are you trying to find this person to level you up instead of trying to level yourself up? And I think that's what these apps have turned into. You know what I mean? Like the level up game.
But here's the thing though. Here's the opposite side of it. I know people who met on Tinder or Bumble or whatever. And they've had, like, I have a good friend of mine that I've known for over 20 years. She's been with her partner for, like, 5, 6 years now. And they met on the Tinders, as the older people say. They're on the Tinders! You know, so it's like, it's not impossible, but it's just, for me, it's just like, improbable.
What do you think it is, though? Like, do you think it's all about the person's intent then, right? Like, if they're actually genuinely trying to find a connection or if they are doing this numbers thing.
Exactly. It's exactly that, you know? Like, some people are just there for hookups and Tinder, you know? I think it's a hookup spot. Which sometimes turns into a longer term thing because the person you connect with just so happens, but how often is that gonna happen? Yeah.
Well, I guess for the most people out there, they're hot blooded. But maybe not as fashionable as you. Like I could definitely see if you take some of the images that were in the video, the different outfits, and you made a profile, how that could work it to your advantage.
As I said, those things. You know what? I'm just like I find it embarrassing. Like I'm like, when am I gonna write about myself? Like, you know what I mean? Like what? Like when I read some people's like the bios and stuff that people put, I'm just like, wow, like that's something. Like, you know, like, oh, don't know. It was just a lot. I'm like, well, okay, get me out of here. Like, get me out of here.
Yeah, it's not always, it's not always, for want of a better word, appetizing.
Right.
But I mean, some for some people it works. It's like, and I think for people who are really looking for a true connection, that, you know, they'll go to whatever extent they have to in order to find it. And I commend them for that.
So do you see something in the future for yourself? What are you working on, like, now, in terms of the message? So some of these other strong messages that you said.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about in terms of relationship. I'm like, no.
No. I understood the hot blooded. Okay, so I know this is the direction. But I mean, in terms of your other reflections, your other COVID-19 reflections, in terms of life and what you want to put out there.
Yeah, like, there is definitely the message of self-love and self-worth. Mm-hmm. Again, like, loving the skin you're in, definitely. I did want to talk about the perspective of being a divorcee and not, because I never really got to actually just even address it. Like, you know, a lot of people don't even know. So I just, like, when I finally got to address it, I'm like, wow, okay. So that was different for me in terms of, like, really being vulnerable and just talking about, like, the real stuff. Like, and I think I really want just people, when they hear it, to really find something that they could relate to. And there is, as I said, like, you know, like, there's a hot-blooded side, but then there's also the other side, which is, like, vulnerable and, like, me working through, like, that those traumas and those adversities that people go through. And that's what I want really the people to take from it, that I'm not a caricature and that I'm a whole human being. And even I think that's part of, like, the journey that I've been on from COVID, in the sense that even I had an old Instagram that almost, like, I was at over 10K. Uh-huh. And when I started posting about Black Lives Matter and I started posting about, like, you know, like love is love and equity and, like, you know, not equality, but equity. People were literally sending me messages in my DMs and being like, that's not what your platform should be about. Like, you should be talking about the music. And I'm like, if I can't use my platform to talk about what I want to talk about, then I don't want this. I want to start again. I want to start from scratch. Okay. And that's essentially what I did. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I started again from the ground up, and now, like, I'm seeing genuine cross, like, you know what I mean? Like, when people are, they're responding to it because they genuinely want to get to know what the music is about. They want to genuinely get to know, like, what my stance is on things like that, as opposed to, like, you know, just being there is just, like, another number. Like, you know, just like the Tinder, just like that. People get so caught up in the numbers and instead of the actual quality of, like, what you're trying to put out there.
So, yeah. Quality of the interactions that you're having.
The quality of the interactions, the quality of just everything. Your work that you put out there, the quality, instead of trying to, right now, I was trying to put out a post every day because, you know, it, like, Instagram, you know, you should put posts once a day. On Twitter, you should be 7 times a day. Like, it's like all these different things, like, you know, like, that you should be doing. And I'm just like, no. Like, I don't have to do any of this. Like, you know, the people who genuinely believe and generally support and who generally want to hear will find their way to me. And that's kind of from there, like, I've been living stress free, like, really and truly. I'm just like, I'm like, yeah, like, it's a good time right now.
yeah. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Rebel Will about what he's doing with his music, how he's moving through life, and how things have changed for him over the years. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Floating.
Yes, we're back. It is another Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I'm in studios with
Renee Jordan. And we are talking with Rebel Will. He is, if you are now tuning in, he is an artist who was born in Montreal, but who unfortunately moved to Toronto, but we still love him. And his music. And over the pandemic, he has been working on reconnecting with himself and sort of deciding in which way he should formulate his career. So we were talking a little bit before the break about the issues that you wanted to bring forth in your music, how you didn't want to just talk about the stuff that people expect artists to talk about. And you mentioned Black Lives Matter. You mentioned also the fact being a divorcee and how that sort of impacted your life and how it shaped you. I think that's incredible that you're willing to share those things, because I think a lot of times when it comes to the way we look at love and marriage in society, we always concentrate on the positive stuff, and nobody ever talks about when it gets ugly or when it's not right.
When it doesn't work.
Pardon me?
Or when it doesn't work.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes it's not ugly or anything.
Yeah, it's just not meant to be.
Oh, we're actually not compatible like we thought we were.
Yeah, I feel like, you know what, so many times I feel like even growing up, my mentality of relationship was very, very much like, okay, the stereotypical, you find the person, you get married, you date, you get married, you have your kids, whatever, you have your house, you have your career, you retire, you die. Like, you know, and that was just pretty much, like, all that I've known, you know what I mean? Like, and
all that,
like,
all of us have known. I mean, if we watch any movies, any right. TV shows, that's how it's supposed to be, and supposed right. in, like, air quotes. You know, we're right. supposed to get married, we're supposed to have the 2.5 kids, supposed to have the house, the car, and then we're supposed to grow old together, and then we die.
Right. And I just feel like I started again questioning, just like, is that what I want? Is that even, like, you know, is that really the path that I want to take? And also, as I said, going from like long-term relationship, I didn't get that chance to grow and develop these like skills like by myself. Like, I finally lived alone for the first time, like alone, like, you know, like no extended person, like stuff. I'm like, wow. I'm like, shoot, I could walk around naked and not feel away. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I could leave these dishes in here for a week and a half and I don't care. Like, you know, like, it's like little things that like I learned to like embrace and cherish. And again, like, one of the things that I think my biggest life lesson is that there's people that are going to be around for the moment and there's people going to be around for the lifetime. And either one, like, you know, either which way, like, if whichever category they fall under, they're all there to teach you something. And you have to be cognitive and awake and willing to, I guess, accept the challenges and accept the lessons that they're going to teach you. And that's really been my overall journey. And that's what this whole project is about, because I'm talking about, from, as I said, all those sub categories that we talked about earlier come back to that whole life lesson, into, yeah, like, there's the monogamy, the, you know, infidelity, the being divorced, like self-worth, all the stuff like that. Those are all falling into that overall message of understanding the moment and the lifetime and like what you take from it. And so that's Rebel Futurism in a nutshell.
So I wanted to ask you, okay. Rebel Futurism, mm-hmm. is that like a play on your branding and your name, coupled with Afrofuturism?
Absolutely. All right, come on, Kim.
Hey, you know, I know a little something.
You know, absolutely.
So how has Afrofuturism influenced or affected you?
So for the longest time, like, I have wanted to, okay, well, first I'll go back to even like my understanding, like what Afrofuturism is like really the not caring about gender, not caring about, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like one encompassing of blackness. And I love that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, seeing when you go to like those like Afro punk and like all different things like that, like, mm-hmm. and seeing like the different people, different walks of life, it's literally life changing. Because especially being like Meng Xiao, like, you really only see one kind of person. But I find, like, you know, okay. before Meng Xiao comes after me, I'll talk about Meng Xiao.
Watch out now. What are you saying?
But I can, like, you know, I can say something about just Canada in general. Like, there's very, like, I feel like, especially growing up suburbs, Royalist Academy, shout out, like, you know what I mean? Like, Dawson College, shout out. Like, it's very, very much the same, like, same. We're kind of taught to be the same type of black. Like, you know what I mean?
I understand what you mean. Because when I came up from Jamaica and I went to Dawson, because I also went to Dawson, every season there was a specific color that would come out. And every single black person had that color on. So I understand, it seems like we were like this monolith. And we just, there was a trend and we just followed the trend. So when baby blue, baby fat was in style, every black person had on a baby blue, baby fat, sweatpants, jogging suit, whatever the case may be. So I think I understand what you mean by everyone looked the same.
Right, like, even going with that, like, you know, like, if I take, like, the structure of Dawson College, it was like, the blacks stayed in this area, you don't move from the area, you wore this, this is the classes you take, if you want, like, you know, like, if you were more on the popular side, you skipped, like, if not, like, you know, oh, like, you know what I mean, like, that was the, like, the black way. Like, unfortunately, you know what I mean? Like,
that's, sorry to cut you, but, like, when I was in Dawson, and I would speak to people, it'd be like, yeah, I'm taking social. Yeah, I'm doing social. Yeah, I'm doing social. And I'm like, oh, no, no, have not, no, no one do.
Right.
Social is it. That's it. No art, no engineering,
I think, just social. I think where that sort of comes from, just because we're not a lot, there are not many of us, that we sort of get pigeonholed into being a sort of way or being a certain way. So already you're part of this group of few. Then if you want to make yourself stand out by being something other than, then you might risk finding yourself alone. And I think that's the reason why perhaps during the times that we were at Dawson, that you would see that, where you would have people who were sort of in different pockets. Like, I mean, I was studying science at Dawson, but I would say that it felt like, I felt sort of like a weirdo because I didn't really see any of my people or many of my people in my classes, you know, only when I was in the classes where the other people would sort of mix in, and our schedules weren't in sync. So sometimes it was really hard to meet up. But I think we have this thing in our community where we don't often allow people to be who they are or to be something other. But luckily, like, I see in this next generation that's coming up behind, they're changing, you know, they're not afraid to be something different. Like, the other day I saw a black girl go by on a skateboard, and I was like, you know, that to me, that wouldn't really have been a thing, that even if I liked skateboarding or I had played on my brother's skateboard a couple of times, like, I would have never thought to go and join a group of skaters and start doing that, you know, because, like, I maybe, because it wasn't a thing that I would do on it, and it wasn't really a thing that my friends were doing either. And you often notice, like, when people decided to stand out, how they just ended up being without their people. And I think that wasn't a place that you necessarily wanted to be.
But I think that they do the same thing in terms of, like, the music scene here in Canada in general. Uh-huh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when I was in Montreal, a lot of the shows that I used to do was, like, there were, like, weekly shows at this, actually, I won't even say the place because it'll be too big. But a lot of the times they're like, well, you know, okay, so we're all black. I'm like, cool, cool. I'm like, that's why I'm here, you know, support, like, you know. But we're doing R&B. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm a pop artist. They're like, but this is for R&B. Like, you're not R&B. I'm like, okay, I don't want to be R&B. You know what I mean? And even a lot, if you look at my older music and older stuff, like, I have R&B influences, but I've never wanted to be an R&B artist. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not here to sing like a Whitney Houston or Luther Vandross down. Like, that's not my style. It's never been my style. You know what I mean? Like, or it's never been like, you know, me like singing like a beautiful, like doing all these runs and like with the guitar. Like, that's never been who I am. I know I give you vocals, I'll give you pop vocals, I'll give you choreography, I'll hit my boom cat, like, you know what I mean? I'll make sure I'm at every single mark. Like, that's who I am, and I think I needed to move out of Montreal to even embrace
that. To get that freedom?
Yeah. Mm. Right? Like, and so now it's beautiful that we're seeing so many people supporting each other. But again, even when we're seeing all the support, it's support within the same. Like, okay, well, you still have to be like what our mold is.
Yeah, you still have to go into this box that I'm comfortable right. with.
Exactly. And yeah. So that's kind of like, that's one of the reasons why, like, I love my child's always going to be home, but that's one of the reasons why I'm no longer there either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I found success because I allowed myself to play outside that box that is the city of Montreal, like, you know. So yeah, like, I feel moving forward, I didn't know what was the original topic. We got so